Well, I know God wants to do something today because I woke up yesterday with a cold. So that means Satan doesn't want stuff to happen today, I think. So make sure that you sing out, if you know the song, sing out nice and loud for me. And I'll do my best to sing through this cold. Lost or saved, find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Every fear has no place at the sound of your great name. The enemy, he has to leave at the sound of your great name. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. And all the world will praise your great name. All the weak find their strength at the sound of your great name. Hungry souls receive grace at the sound of your great name. The fatherless, they find their rest at the sound of your great name. The sick are healed, the dead are raised at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. And all the world will praise your great name. Your great name. Redeemer, my healer, Lord Almighty, my Savior, Defender, you are my King. Redeemer, my healer, Lord Almighty, my Savior, Defender, you are my King. Jesus, oh my Jesus, oh my Jesus, you're my Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted. lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name, your great name, your great name. Nothing can separate, even if I ran away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. The wind is strong and the water's deep, but I'm not alone here in these open seas. Your love never fails. The chasm is far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side, but your love never fails. You stay. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Oh, your love never fails. And you make all things work together for my good. And you make all things work together for my good. And you make all things work together for my good. And you make all things work together for my good. And you make all things work together for my good. And you make all things work together for my good. And you make all things work together for my good. And you make all things work together for my good. You stay the same through the ages. And your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change, one thing remains. Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change, one thing remains, one thing remains. Love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love. Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change, one thing remains, one thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love. Your love. I just feel led to share a quick testimony. You know, I've been a Christian since I was 16 years old, and I had been through some really difficult things in my life, as I think all of us can say the same thing. And a few years ago, I went through probably the hardest thing I've ever gone through in my life. And it was the first time in my life, despite other trials I had been through, where I really questioned God's love. And I was just like, God, like, I thought I was being obedient. Why? Like, why are you allowing this to happen to me? This is like, I don't think I'm going to get through it. And God really spoke to me through that time, and he always does during the trials, right? He speaks to us during the good times, but I feel like he really speaks to us during the trials, because that's when we're listening. That's when we're listening closely to him, I think. And he just showed me, like, Kelly, I've got this. I'm working all things together. I'm working all things together. It doesn't make sense right now. This doesn't seem to fit what you believe about me. It doesn't seem to fit your small, finite human brain. But I promise, I'm working all these things together. And I can honestly say, a few years later, that I can see God's plan unfolding. And it wasn't just for me. That's the thing. The trial wasn't all about me. It was for other people as well. So thank goodness God's love doesn't depend on whether we're believing it in the moment, right? It never fails, and it's not dependent on us. He said he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. His love, he just is love. He is love. Whether I'm having a great day, whether I'm having a bad day, his love for me is constant. So no matter what you're going through, you may feel like, does God even see? Does God even care? He does. He sees and he cares. And on and on and on and on it goes. Yes, it overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I never, ever have to be afraid, 'cause one thing remains, one thing remains. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love, oh, in death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love. Your love. I apologize, I just lost all my paper. So in light of all of that, let's just come and worship him. And, you know, we have salvation. If we have salvation, we have everything. We have so much more than the world has just by being accepted in the Beloved. Even if we have nothing, we have everything. Savior, I come and quiet my soul. Remember redemption's hill, where your blood was spilled for my ransom. everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Holy me. Lead me to the cross. You were as I tempted and tried, human. The Word became flesh for my sin and death. Now you're risen. In everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to your heart. To your heart. Lead me to your heart. Lead me to your heart. Lead me to your heart. To your heart. Lead me to your heart. Lead me to your heart. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Holy me. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross. Saints and angels, they bow before your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. All the saints and angels, they bow before your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Test, test. Test. Can you hear me? Is this on? Is this on enough? Is it loud enough for everybody? Okay. Okay. Because I've got it right up here, so. All right. Well, I'm just going to pray. I wasn't nervous until now, so. All right. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for this opportunity. And I pray, Father, that you would be able to help me to share, Father God, the scriptures and the things that you put on my heart. And I pray, Father, that it would make sense to somebody. And we pray, Father, that you would work in our hearts through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'd like to start out first by asking Kathy to explain why Denny is in the hospital. and then she can help us to know how to pray.
You can I'll sit. Well, it started, we took a trip down into the middle of Pennsylvania the other day. Okay, Monday we went down to see the elk down in Benezet, Pennsylvania, which is in the middle of absolutely nothing except woods. And we spent the night, and then Tuesday we headed home. And on the way home, before we left, while we were in Benezet, Denny said, "Boy, I'm not feeling good. There's something funny going on here." And well, it's 2.5 hours from home, and there is nothing for miles and miles and miles. And he got sick in the car, and well, it started with diarrhea. So anyway, but thankfully he provided bathrooms twice on the way home. And then by the time he got 2 miles from home, he said, "Stop the car, I'm real sick." And he had to projectile vomit and all this stuff. And I thought, oh my gosh, but Lord, you got us through. You got us this far. Well, it just kept going downhill after that. He just couldn't hold anything in. And he got so weak that I think it was Wednesday. We went to the emergency room and they did all their tests and sent us back home. And the next day he was even worse. He was, he just couldn't hold anything down. It got to be like 11:30 at night, and he decided he was faint, and he said, "I'll take my blood pressure." Well, he has high blood pressure, and he takes medication for it. Well, his blood pressure was like 100, and so we knew that that wasn't right. That was very, he's never had that. So we got him in the car. He could barely walk, and we got him to the emergency room, and both times, all the doctors said, "Boy, you look horrible. You look really bad." And they put him through a barrage of tests. It was just crazy. And 3 o'clock in the morning, they said, "Well, we're going to admit him." So they did, and he's been on IVs and antibiotics. And they felt that because he had taken a whole bunch of antibiotics, he's been under attack here for the last month. He had an abscessed tooth, and they gave him antibiotics, and then he had bronchitis and pneumonia, and they gave him antibiotics for that. So he had 3 different antibiotics within a month, and they figured that that had killed all of the good antibodies in him. And of course, he couldn't keep anything down, so he was very dehydrated. And his kidneys were not, they had gotten to a point where they weren't functioning properly. So then they had to deal with that, and he's still there. He said this morning that if they're starting to wean him off some of the IVs and stuff to see how he'll do, but they said actually going through the diarrhea, that kind of helps to clear your body out. It's your body is doing a work there, So they thought at first it was C. diff, which is not a good thing, but now they said it is not. It was a bacterial infection of some kind. And but he's doing better. And so hopefully he can come home tonight. And he appreciates all the prayers that he's been getting, because that's all we've been able to rely on.
Yeah, we're going to pray for him again today. All right. And I'd also like to pray for Randy. Randy Corky went down to Tennessee. No, it's someplace else. Her one daughter's in Tennessee and the other one's somewhere else. But anyway, her one daughter was having a baby. And then Randy was on her way to a Bible study, of course. and she got rear-ended. And they did her number on her car. I have pictures on my phone. It's really cool. Yeah, down there. And so she went to the hospital because she had a bump on her head. And, of course, you should be checked out when you're rear-ended because you can have all kinds of stuff. So, but she had a kind of a neat testimony. She left me 2 voicemails, and I asked her if I could share this, because I just think this is just an example of what I was kind of going to speak on. She was waiting for her CAT scan, and she noticed a thin man who looked like he'd lived a hard life and with tattoos like all over his body. And she had told him what was wrong with her, and he told her that he had, just in the course of their conversation, he had lost his mom, his dad, and his wife in 2016. And, you know, 2016 seems like a little bit a long time ago for some people. But when you've lost somebody, 2016 is like yesterday. I mean, it's like last year. You know, those kind of things take an awful long time to get over. So he lost three close people in 2016. And his daughter wanted him to go to the hospital. So anyway, they're conversing and everything. And then she goes in, has her CAT scan, comes out, and she sees him again. And so she felt led to go over and, you know, see how they were doing. And they said that they had a possible cancer diagnosis. And so, you know, Randy is, I really believe she has an evangelistic gift. I really feel like she's an evangelist. And she just started just sharing with him how the Lord God is stronger and more powerful than we could possibly believe, and that Jesus said, if you even have faith the size of a mustard seed, that's all you need to move a mountain, and that he is for you and he loves you. And the whole time she was speaking, the man's daughter was just beaming, just like, I'm so glad somebody's telling him this, you know? And she said, when she got to the part where he said, he is for you, he loves you, he forgives you, she said the guy's eyes were like saucers. You know, it's like, like, couldn't believe it. And so she just ended up like saying that it was a great privilege to be able to share with him. And she, you know, I'm not sure that she prayed with him. She didn't say that in her voicemail, but you know, I feel like the Lord gives us these opportunities, and whether they're a big opportunity, this seems like a really big opportunity for her, but, you know, even if it's a small opportunity to share our faith in the Lord, praise the Lord, to do anything, I think it makes an impact, you know, on our community and on the people around us. And and for those of you who are gifted evangelists, Randy will, you know, she talked to a lot of people. I just want to encourage you in your gift. You know, most of us, me included, I struggle. I do little things here and there, but every once in a while you have that big opportunity, and it's such a blessing to share the gospel and the good news. So let's pray for Randy and let's pray for Denny. And we can lift up this man too that was in the emergency room. Lord Jesus, we lift up Denny Dunham to you, Father. And Lord, we pray, God, that you would help his whole system, Father, to be put back in order. Lord, we pray, Father, for his whole digestive system and his heart and everything, Father God, to go back to the way it should be, Father. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that you would send him home stronger and healthier, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would strengthen him in the spirit as well, Father. And if there is anybody in there that he could share anything with, Father, we pray that you would inspire him. And Lord, we pray for Randy also, Father. We pray that for any lingering effects of this accident, that you would bless her and help her, Father, strengthen her and touch her body. Pray that you'd heal her. And we pray for the man that she spoke to, that you would bless him also, Father. Help him find salvation. Help him to understand the gospel. And we pray, Father, if his daughter or someone else in the family knows it, that they can explain it more fully. And Lord, we just pray for his salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you for praying with us for that. Okay, I'm just going to ask everybody, what did you think when you saw Go Fight Win, what's the first thing that came to your mind? If anybody want to, I'm just wondering if anybody, what'd you think of?
It's a cheer.
All right. Okay, so anybody who really knows me knows that I don't watch football, okay? I don't hate football, okay? But I was actually thinking of football the whole time that I was thinking about making this message, so it's kind of weird. I only watch the Super Bowl usually. But what amazes me when I do watch it is the feats of strength and the perseverance, like just the amazing things that they do. I don't understand all the rules. I don't get it. I don't even try really, but I really enjoy like just watching the athleticism. You know, sometimes they're in this situation where they gain a few yards, then they lose a few yards, and then they gain a few yards, then they lose a few yards. And it's this big struggle. I mean, these huge guys, and they're just making this incremental, you know, it seems like incremental progress, and then, you know, then they get pushed back. So then they, you know, they get in the huddle. They get all in the huddle, and they make a plan. What's the next thing? What are we going to do next, you know? And to me, there were so many things, like when I got started thinking about it, so many things that were kind of like our Christian life. And you can imagine us, you know, sometimes we feel like as a church, like as a whole body, we just feel like we're just making this incremental, you know, progress. And then we get pushed back by something like in our government or in our community or in, you know, just something happens in the community that you feel like, oh, how could they let that happen, you know? And then we just, you know, we pick up, carry on, we get in the huddle, we say, well, what are we going to do about this? You know, how are we going to handle this and what are we going to do? And we forge on. And then sometimes in the football you see this thrilling run, you know, where this guy is like zigzagging, you know, through the opposite team, and they make it all the way to the end zone, and they're dodging, and they're getting hit, and they're getting, you know, somebody's trying to grab them, and make them fall over, and they make it, you know. And so, you know, that's sometimes we do have a big victory, you know, in our lives, and it's like a miracle, you know, like we got through this and it's a miracle, and we somehow get through all the obstacles. So I was thinking Go Fight Win because I was thinking of the cheerleaders on the sidelines. And in Hebrews 12:1, I'm going to watch the time because honestly I thought that I wasn't going to be preparing enough, but who knows, I might have prepared too much, so I'm just going to watch the time once in a while. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So who are the great cloud of witnesses? In Hebrews 11, the whole chapter gives us a long list. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, all the patriarchs and prophets and others who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, escaped the sword, were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the enemies of the armies of their enemies, raised the dead, and that's the positive side. when I read that chapter, Hebrews 11, for some reason my mind just like zeroes in on all the horrible things, you know, like the people that endured scourging, chains, torture, that we don't even think about in these days, you know. And God says they obtained a good testimony through faith, even though they did not see the promise, and that the world was not worthy of them. So I think of that sometimes when I see somebody go through something that's severely unjust and they have done everything that they can possibly do to follow God. And I feel like, well, God says the world's not even worthy of them. But God sees it, and he's going to reward it. So my first point was that victory comes after the battle. We must go into the battle. I was going to name my talk Walking in Victory, but as I thought about it for weeks and weeks, I thought, well, we would all want to be in a place of perfect victory all the time. Like, wouldn't we? It's like, I'm going to be walking victory from now on. Just like, not have any problems. And in a sense, we do have victory in Christ, but we can't deny the harsh reality of the battle. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13 says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." So when we suffer, we're participating in the same type of suffering that Christ suffers. And there has never been a time in my life, and I've asked the Lord this many times, I think, Lord, you never had to go through, and it doesn't even get out of my mouth, you never had to go through this. And he immediately tells me, yeah, what about that time? You know, what about that time? And there really isn't anything that we suffered that he didn't suffer. And in greater measure in some cases. But it's not, we shouldn't think it strange, and we shouldn't be, he says, do not be surprised. Well, sometimes it's hard not to be surprised, but we have to realize that it's not surprising and it's not strange that we battle. It's just part of this earthly life. But we may be overjoyed when Christ is revealed. So just like the football players, great effort is involved. Here's an example from the Old Testament. I love this example. 2 Samuel 23:9-12. This was in a battle with David. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Ahohite. As one of the three mighty warriors, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines, and they gathered at Pasdamim for battle. Then the Israelites retreated, but Eleazar, the rest of the Israelites retreated, but Eleazar stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. So he stood there while everybody else retreated, and he held on to his sword so hard that he couldn't, you know, he had to pry his fingers from the sword when he got through. And then it says, the Lord brought about a great victory that day. The troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. So the troops retreated away from him, and he stood his ground and fought till his hand was frozen to the sword. And then the Israelites came back when he had vanquished everything, and they were able to reap the plunder of the those that had been died. So it sounds like Eleazar was a mighty man of valor, and he did it. But it says the Lord brought about a great victory that day. It sounds like the men did the work, but they couldn't have not have done it without God's help. The King James uses the Lord wrought a great work that day, and the original Hebrew the word means the same. It's the same word that was used when he made the firmament. You know, when he created in the book of Genesis, when he created the heavens and the earth, is that word work or wrought. So you think when he's wrought the victory, the Lord is actually doing it. Okay, when he gets victory in any circumstance through us, it is him working through us, and in a very powerful way. And he was working through Eleazar in a very powerful way to enable him to do that. 1 Chronicles 29:11 says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head over all." And that word in that sentence, the power and the glory and the victory, that word comes from a Hebrew word that it means victory or overcoming, but it comes from the root of a word that means there's a bright object in a distance that you're traveling towards. So I thought that was kind of a very picturesque way that they're talking about victory or splendor. Like, has anybody read Through Gates of Splendor about the missionaries that were killed, the five one killed by the spear in South America? And Through Gates of Splendor, so when you see that light, that bright light that you're walking to. Some people see it when they have a near-death experience. But that's victory. Okay, that's a picture of victory, that it's set before us, that splendor. Psalm 98:1 says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory." He has the victory over death, the greatest obstacle of all. And Jesus did it for us. Isaiah 25:8 says, "He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken." And 1 Corinthians 15:54 says, "When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory." So in some of those, in 1 Corinthians, when it says, "The saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory," Christ has already paid the price for our salvation and for our eternal life. But in Corinthians, he's saying, "The saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory." That happens when the perishable has been clothed with imperishable. When we receive our new bodies, and the mortal with immortality. So in a sense, the total victory has not yet been achieved. Hebrews 2:8 says, "When God subjected all things to him, he left nothing outside of his control. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him." So at the present, we see the world as it is. There are, men still have a choice, and they make bad choices. So we don't see that things are subject to Christ, but they still are. God subjected all things to him. He left nothing outside of his control. Yet, even though he is sovereign, he allows men to make choices. And so the world isn't perfect yet. But 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4 says, For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. And I think the word overcome is basically the same as receiving victory, getting victory. So everyone born of God overcomes or gets victory over the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. In Philippians 2, Paul writes, Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his purpose. So in that sense, it shows us that God is working in us to will, to help us to will to do things. Because sometimes I'm afraid or some, you know, things interfere with what God wants me to do, but he can give me the will to do it and to act and the power to act according to his purpose. So in the suggested blanks that I had on my paper there, it says, go. There is a battle to be fought before we can receive this victory. And then it says fight. It says we sometimes have to exert a great effort to, and I thought, well, I probably didn't put that very well, but what I meant was work out, I kind of made these things before I thought through the whole speech, but to complete our life, complete our eternal life. I didn't want it to sound like we were purchasing our eternal life through our works. I didn't mean to make it sound like that. I realized that Christ purchased our eternal life alone on the cross, and there's nothing that we can do to add or take away from that. But we do have to work out our salvation, which means fulfill what God's plan for us. Okay, so that's really what I meant with that. And then win is our victory is, does anybody have a word that they'd like to put in there? Our victory is guaranteed. Pardon? Sure, right, sure, in Christ. What we can complete, yes. So anything like that is fine. So we're not saving ourselves through our actions, but fulfilling our purpose in God. We overcome by our faith in Him. And how is that developed? And I think somebody already mentioned this, by our experience. If a stranger walks up to you on the street and asks to borrow $50 and says, I'll meet you tomorrow and pay you back, our response would probably be, I don't even know you. If you know someone and they have a reputation for honesty, uprightness, truthfulness, and then you're more able to trust them, right? And some have said that our problem in trusting God is that we don't know Him well enough. It's our experiences and accumulated knowledge that build our trust in Him. And I think Kelly mentioned that when you were giving your testimony that's when we, sometimes when our greatest trials is what bring us our greatest understanding of Him, because He reveals Himself to us in those times. Matthew 11:29 says, Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So often we think, you know, God must hate me, or he must be just so disappointed in me, or, you know, something like that. When God speaks to us, he's usually so compassionate and so gentle and quiet and kind. Even when he corrects us, I feel like it is kind and gentle. 1 John 4 says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's who overcomes the world. And you get the idea that John, to John, the idea that anything born of God could be defeated by this world was strange. It's like, how could that be? You know, he knew it was impossible because we have this life and eternity. So we have this life to overcome the world, and we have eternity to overcome, be overcomers. Romans 14:8 says, "If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. We've overcome." And John 16:33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So Jesus was telling his disciples, you will have trouble. You will suffer. He was telling them that they personally would suffer, but that he would be with them, and that he had overcome the world, and that they would overcome the world. So what is it that we call trouble? A lot of things, from very small to great, trouble us. Loving our neighbors, loving our friends, loving our enemies, loving our families. The grief the grief we feel over the sad plight of victims of violence and disaster and poverty. So I feel like even those things are things that we have to overcome, because they can really drag our spirit down. When I hear about, like, the fire in Lahaina in Hawaii, and the things that happened there that don't seem right at all, or other natural disasters, or just evil things that happen to people, it really saddens you. It brings grief to your life. But I really feel like it's the heart of God that in us that causes us to be so sad, and I really think that it causes us to pray. Or I feel like we can have relief in prayer, relief from that grief and sadness in prayer. And it also releases a holy action. I mean, the Lord responds to our prayer in those situations, and God is at work in the world through our grief and our prayer, subsequent prayer. So we can have victory over satanic forces and victory over fear. We can have victory over sin. But sometimes we have to go through the battle to get to that victory. And we must not faint. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." An example from the Old Testament, Nebuchadnezzar and the three Hebrews, the three Hebrew young men. In Daniel it says, "Now when you hear this is Nebuchadnezzar talking to the three young men. "Now when you hear the sound of the horn, lute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. Wow. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. And I was like, wow, that is amazing. And I hope that I would be able to have that kind of response if I was ever in that situation. But that's what we live our lives to prepare ourselves for. Something of that kind, you know, that might happen to us where we'd have to make a big decision. But we want to, I believe that they had lived in a situation, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, had lived in that culture where false gods were worshipped, and they could see it coming. They saw the statue go up. They said, well, we know what's going to happen to that. They're going to make everybody bow down because they'd seen it done before. So for us, I feel like we see the times around us and we see the things that are happening and we say, okay, where am I going to stand on this? I'm going to stand on faith. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. And this is, you know, it's like this is the hill to die on, you know, or it's like this is my line. I will, you know, I don't cross this line. So there's all kinds of things that we go through, and everybody has to kind of make these decisions for themselves, for the reasons that God sets before them. And I feel like they were specifically told to bow down and worship. And that's just something that we can't do, right? So that no matter if they believed, they shared that they believed that God was able to deliver them from his hand, but if not, they would not bow down and worship the gods that they set up. I wanted to play a song. It's Faith Like Daniel. I don't know how many people have heard it. That was a pretty neat song. So I'm just gonna see if this will play through that speaker there. Hope it's not too loud. I love that. I love the idea of having confidence to face my giants. And, you know, we can gain confidence through our experiences and be more confident the next time. Sometimes we go through something the first time and we're like, wah! But the next time we're more prepared for it, and something of that similarity. Now, I just wanted to say there are seasons in life, and I realize that sometimes we go through events that tire us and we need a season of rest. Other times we're in a season of strength and we're able to lift up those who are weak. We should be able to give and to receive, to work and to rest. And we're going to go back to football here for a second. The whole team trains. Okay, they spend all summer, training. But there are the starters and those that are waiting on the bench. There are two teams, the defense and the offense. This is much I know. This is very little. But they're all highly trained and qualified individuals. They're all being paid a lot of money. That is what makes a great team. When someone can come off the bench and seamlessly go into action. I can't even picture that in football. Like, they've got all these plays that they've studied and everything, and somebody can just come off the bench and just move right into doing the whole thing with the team. When even the quarterbacks get called out to the sideline to rest. And then there's, I've already talked about that. And also, we need to remember that sometimes when someone is injured on the field, sometimes they keep playing. Sometimes you see guys that get knocked over and they get up and they're kind of wobbly, but they keep on playing. Sometimes they get, they have to be taken off the field and are on the disabled list for a long time. Okay, so sometimes we get hurt in church. Sometimes we get hurt in life. Sometimes we can keep on going. Sometimes we get a little hurt and we're like, okay, that hurt, but I'm going to keep going. And sometimes we're like laid out, okay, and it takes us a while to get back in, okay? And and then at that point, you know, you're looking at surgery, rehabilitation. So if you can think of like the Lord working on your heart, sometimes feels like surgery, right? And then the rehabilitation of like growing back in faith and building your faith back up and learning more about Him and trusting Him again. And so the important thing is understanding where we are in the gameplay, okay? Where we are in the battle. Where are we? What is our function, and what is God ultimately doing with us right now? And understanding that God will ultimately see us through every battle, because He is by our side, and He has worked the victory out for us already. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." 2 Corinthians says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So, you know, sometimes we think our troubles are great, and they do seem great to us. But from eternity, when we look back, we'll think they were light, because it's achieving for us eternal glory. And if anybody has had a glimpse of that glory or felt the Spirit in such a way that you know that someday you're going to feel that all the time, that you're going to be in His presence with His glory, like just going through you at all times, it's just going to be amazing. So in 1 Timothy, Paul says, "Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." So fight the good fight. Guys, go fight, win. All right? We're going to make it. We're going to make it to glory. And it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Thank you. Judy wanted to have a time of prayer after this so we could pray for you, for if you had prayer for yourself or prayer for someone else that you would like to lift them up. And we're just going to open that up. I think Judy had plans for some people to pray with us.